on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. I am delighted to be joined this week again by Pete Sinnott. After a few weeks hiatus, Pete, I know you didn't spend most of your time in Europe, but you did spend the last couple of weeks in Gibraltar, or not Gibraltar, I should say, Lanzarote. How'd you get on?
Gibraltar to Lanzarote, yeah, fucking one end of the spectrum to the other. A few days away with the loonies and then away on a family holiday. So, yeah, I've been touching off both sides for the last month or so, but... Yeah, a little bit disappointed I couldn't make the other two European games, but looks like every other ball anyway. So let's hope we can get there again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on course anyway as it stands. Before we kick off again, this podcast is sponsored by McMovers, mcmovers.eu. Looking for a nice, reliable moving service in Dublin, whether that be commercial or true residential stuff, getting moving around, buying new houses, settling down with a woman. I need your stuff shifted. Get on to Emma and the lads to look after for Dublin's number one moving service. Fast, reliable, and a fantastic price to be given to Bowls fans, I'm sure, by Emmett. Yeah, Pete, we'll kick on to Europe anyway to start us off. It was an amazing 6 weeks, mentally, physically, financially exhausting by all accounts. We gave a good account of ourselves. I don't think performances were fantastic by any means, by the two Michelin games. But wasn't it just great to get those few weeks that we've all dreamed of probably for the last 10 to 15 years at this stage?
Yeah, I think as a whole, the European campaign can be judged as a success. Like we went through the couple of rounds, couple of great away trips, great memories made. I think, you know, I suppose, aside from the football, I suppose these European trips, they tend to... to bond everyone together and really give you a bit of a united front for what's to come after it. And you can see that in the videos and the pictures that were coming through from the away trips. You know, someone you might have thought was a wanker and you're looking, who's that fan over the bar? You get chatting to him in the bar away from home and you find out your best buddies, long lost buddies. So you can really see that. And I think that's important as well, coming into the last few games of Daily Mail now that everyone's singing off the same hymn sheet. Park our troubles and get behind the team, and hopefully we'll be back there next year because it's just that there's nothing like a following Bowls in Europe, and even the two home games were really, really special, really, really enjoyable occasions, and yeah, as you said, it was great to be back there and great to be on that stage again. But overall, a successful campaign. No grannies were killed, and we made a few bob out of it. So yeah, well done, Bowls.
Yeah, totally enjoyed it myself, I have to say. The first game in Gibraltar again, it was more like a lad's holiday. It was a joint stag party. Benedina was brilliant, it was good crack. I think the best part of that, if you ask anyone who was in Benedina, was without a doubt the Wednesday night for England versus Argentina. Basically got the pub shut down, the guards came in and shut it down. There's a couple of hundred Bowls fans inside running them up, but that set us up nicely. The game was a bit of an null event. I've never seen a more lifeless away buses leaving, even Costa del Sol to make their tail towards the British Rock at the arse end of Spain. But it was a Madale Stadium. I know Pete, you went in. A few Bowls fans were looking from the outside. The IMC, Fega, two men to mention. But it was
great pictures there, yeah. I just on the bus thing, I think our bus was fairly rocking on the way back. You must have been on the bus number one, were you? Major bus number one. Our bus was bouncing.
Oh no, I was
sing song and everything was great.
I was on your bus on the way back, but it was the bus on the way down. I think everyone had their heads in their hands.
Oh yeah, the way down. Yeah.
Two previous nights, way back now was good cracking. We all got home nice and safe. So fair play to Jamie Wheeler. I know that those two buses paid for his trip, and he probably deserved it for meandering everyone down.
Great show we put on fairness with the buses. Well done, Major.
Yeah, and we moved on to the next game, P, in Kosovo. The brave and the bold made their way over. Yeah. Anyone who sort of kept up with the online content, I know when Dunica made his Dunk, as Luke would call him, made his debut for the podcast. Your young son.
Yeah. I loved it. He absolutely loved it. He hasn't stopped talking about it. They're the things that get you hooked those kind of nights. Just absolutely brilliant. And we bounced into that and we bounced out of it and over to Kosovo. And great numbers. Like you wonder what sort of numbers we were going to bring based on you know, having such a big crowd in Gibraltar, but like a very respectable, must have been, what, 300, was it 250, 300?
In Kosovo, it's about two, between 2 and 250, I'd say. You had 130 in the charter. Then you had the likes of myself who went Dublin, Naples, Macedonia, and then up. There's people came from all sorts, all corners
Yeah.
of the globe. I know Bonesy came to Amsterdam, and Colly McConnell, who deserved a shout out, who done the treble. He got the hat trick in Europe, but he flew in match day morning. He, I think it was Basel, I could be wrong here. He was in Basel Airport for a few hours. He got in, he landed in Kosovo and Pristina at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the day. And then what he done was he went home at a 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning bus right after the match to Tirana, flew into Liverpool and was back in London at 4 p.m. So he basically done a 20-hour trip or 22-hour trip per se. I think he spent less time in Pristina than
no
most.
sleep.
No, no,
no
no.
sleep.
You got a couple of hours maybe in
Fair
there.
play, Collie.
But yeah,
Yeah, like unfortunately, I had to watch the Pristina one in a bar, but I suppose compared to Gibraltar, that was proper Europe, a proper European tie, proper Jeopardy, you know, a real hardcore away support. Listen, Gibraltar was great and it had its merits, but as you said off air, it's just like a fucking piss up, a big stag party, with a bit of a non-event of a match. So if I could swap out, and I would have loved to have been in Pristina that night. That'll probably haunt me for years to come that I didn't make that one. But as I said, it looked brilliant on the television, the pictures, the away end, the release when we won. A lot of people thought they were poor. I don't know whether it was because I was so involved in the match. But I thought we were good on the night. I thought we stuck with it. I thought we came through adversity, like, you know, going 3-1 down. I thought it was a really brave performance. Probably lacked a little bit of quality, and we probably could have scored another couple of goals. But I thought we defended well. We stuck with the game, and we got our rewards at the end of it. So I thought it was brilliant. Really, really, really good night's work.
Yeah, I think the only gripe of the game, we won't touch on it for too long, was I think Brennan's got it wrong twice and used the same wrong attack twice. He started McDonald's number 10 as a press, and I understood what he tried to do, but it didn't work in the first game. Because we were 1-0 down by the time they made that switch with McDonald to get out of there. He was in the second game as well, and he had McDonald in that 10 position. I know he broke through and a couple of times, but it still didn't work. We didn't really punish him. By the time he made that switch, we were also losing 3-1 by that stage. So, I don't know. I think we were just trying to be too smart for trying to play it too cool or trying to be too clever about things, where we maybe just put our best 11 on the pitch and go from there rather than try out outsmart them, especially in Europe. I know people say Europe is different and the players will try to tell you it's different, but at the end of the day, it's 11 v 11 and there's a ball between both teams. You kind of just have to get your best team out there, I think, and win cup ties.
Yeah, I think, and the defence will probably be that we went and we won it, you know, by hook or by crook, we went and we won it. Like Shells went out to that part of the world last year, they were beaten. We've seen what happened to Rovers out in that part of the world as well. So, yeah, I think history will show that to be one of the better results in our European history. And yeah, it was great. And some of the pictures again, like we talk about Oven Pristina, and some of the pictures from Phibsborough and Blanchardstown and some of the other pubs were brilliant as well. It was just a good all round night, you know.
Yeah, it was one of those when the balls shared all the videos of different pubs. We believe there's a crew on the back page watching the game, and the Facebook house were 2 minutes ahead of their stream. So they heard every goal prior, and the penalties are over by the time. What happened?
Yeah.
I can't remember what someone actually left the pub. Someone left the pub because they wanted to watch it in real time. They didn't want it to be ruined. I think they walked into the pub, and they walked by someone, and someone said, "Oh, you're a Bowls fan." He goes, "They just won. I have to hear the roar down there." And yeah, man had literally left to make sure he didn't hear the end result so he could watch it in his own time. But yeah, it seemed to be one of those good nights for Bowls, whether it be home or away. Mitchell and Pete.
Yeah, that night, it'll go down in history that night, certainly, you know. And as I said, there, the night you want, that whet the appetite for more. The home leg, certainly, as well, was brilliant. But the away game was brilliant. For anyone that was there, fair play to you, and that will go down in the annals of history, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we then took on Mitchell MP. Bizarre circumstances that we were, a raft of bad decisions from referees, and God knows where we could have been. An overturned penalty for offside in the first game. And then, of course, you had
Yeah.
possibly two red cards. The goal disallowed, which had never been in a million years disallowed. And, if Bowser won it up and they're down to 10 men, there's blood being smelled there, and there's every chance we go through even.
I listen. I agree with you in terms of the decisions, but I think they gears to go. I think even if we had scored 2, 3, 4 goals, I think they could have upped the ante and maybe gone into another gear. Like, they're a really, really, really good side. So whether we could have went on to win it, probably not. But I thought we gave a great account of ourselves either way. And again, we stuck with it and we kept going. We got our rewards at the end with a couple of goals, which was brilliant for another amazing travelling support. I couldn't believe the numbers that it made when there was 500 tickets made available after the third trip in so many weeks, and we were just about sold out. So again, it looked like a great trip. Lying by the pool, getting the videos and the pictures again. You're wishing you could be there, but yeah, look like a great trip.
Here's one for you, P. Right, so for Europe next year, look, I'm sure we'll touch on a little bit later. I think we're in a great position to get that top three spot now. I think we'll take a Bohemian size collapse for us to finish outside it. But we've seen how it works. Let's say, for argument's sake, Dhaka in the cup this year, and Bowes have the chance to come second or third. Second, bear in mind, you go to the second round of the Conference League. If you finish third, you go to the first round, so
Yeah.
you get that extra leg. There's no real incentive to come second other than you've said to come second. You get that extra leg in Europe. I think it's worth more money. I looked at Chippy's. I think Chippy had the outcome for the in takings, and you're probably likely, all going well, get that extra trip.
Oh yeah, it gives the extra trip, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah, kick your European campaign off earlier. Yeah, you'd have to be. I mean, have any Irish clubs gone out in the first round of the conference over the last couple of years? Derry maybe springs to mind, and Gibraltar.
Derry and Gibraltar, maybe. McShane could have lost that game, and they could have been out in technically their first round. That would have been round two, like.
Yeah. But in the actual round one, is any team like I know Derry, we've touched on. Any other teams been done on the first round?
There definitely has been. One spring to mind, can't tell you off the top of my head, but that definitely must have
Hats
been one.
always have gone through a round or two. Shells
Not
gone
to go
through a
through round
round or
two.
two.
Yeah. Did Chelsea go through around two a
We
couple of
obviously
years
went
ago
through
when
the
they
couple of
first
rounds.
qualified?
Gibraltar was their first European game, was it?
Yeah,
Then
actually, we
Linfield
always
the
go
second
as, yeah.
year.
If the second year, that's correct, yeah. Yeah, so look, I think coming second or third doesn't really make a difference. They're not in a title chase.
Sligo went through a couple of rounds, didn't they?
Sligo went through, yeah, Sligo went to Wales and they went to Motherwell.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, which is fine, actually. Yeah, thanks for asking.
I was waiting for that. But yeah, look, if put it this way, if it's the last game of the season, we chance to come toward our second. But I don't think there's any great financial incentive for us to come second, really, in all honesty, to give the lads a day out and
Yeah,
a day on the sauce.
well, listen, let's hope it's wrapped up because we don't want to be going to Inchicore looking for something on the last game of the season. And then we
Jesus,
have
yeah.
the last game of Dalymount the week before with Shell, so we've a very, very fucking tough run in. So I just hope it is wrapped up. But we've a great opportunity with the next couple of home games, two home games in a week, two wins, and we could nearly start putting it in the calendar for next year.
Yeah, and we'll move on past Europe for another year. It's been a great 6 weeks. Big thanks to anyone who's tuned in, commented, liked anything of the videos. It was something a bit different. Well, the podcast wasn't going to happen on the basis that just too tiresome and Europe knocks the bollocks out of you. We've done a 2021 and it was exhausting, and that was without going to the away game. So it was something a bit different. We throw a few more videos in before the end of the year, given it's the last game in Dalymount, get a few online interviews going, but we'll see how that goes. Pete, another significant moment happened today. Talk about Pats. We talked about the cup. We're not talking about 21 or 23, but we are talking about the quarterfinals, which will take place in several weeks' time in September. And few of us probably want the Pats at home, maybe to give us that opportunity to knock them out and, you know, not have the heartbreak in the final. But we did get them, and it wasn't at home, but it was our future home in Inchicore. We just have to go and win it, don't we? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I think I was a bit shook, probably like everyone else, when the draw came out. Your first reaction was, ah, bollocks. Then you sink down, you compose yourself, and you think, listen, we're well capable of beating Pats if we turn up, if we show up. You have the, we're due to beat them in the cup at some stage factor as well. All the pressure's on them. And the more I think about it, the more I fancy it. And you talk about the cup opening up, if we were to win an inch or that night or that afternoon, I think, is what we've been led to believe. It could be a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon game. If we were to win an Inchicore,
that really, really does.
Like, it's game on. Yeah, it really does open it up for you. You'd really, really fancy your chances then to go and win it from there, you know. Won't be easy, but, you know, as you know, it seems to be the line of the day. Listen, we'd rather lose to them in Inchicore in the quarterfinal than get dragged down to the Aviva and lose in the final again. Yeah, the Aviva's not for a day out anymore. We've been there, done that. We only want to go there for a win at this time. So, yeah, I'm relatively happy with it. Two huge league games before it as well, and like they're all going to be big from now on in, you know.
Yeah, I know. We're probably a bit confident in our league position, but you can't take anything for granted. Yeah, we could come on like a steam train from now to the end of the season. I just don't see it happening for John Russell in Shells. I don't think he's going to last the year, to be honest with you. I just don't think he has a personality that will, you know, see a big club, not the Shells are a big club, but, you know, Dublin expectations, I should say.
It's hard to know. It's early days yet. I mean, he's done good things at Sligo. He seems to be a very good coach by all accounts. So it depends on the type of player they get in. But have they enough to catch us this year? Fucking yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, we're more than capable of going on a 3-4-5 game losing defeat. We're more than capable of taking our foot off the gas, and they're more than capable of going and winning a few games. So although we're in a great position and we're talking about winning the next few, there's still a bit of work to be done yet. Like, and like, even if we were to cock it up on Friday, or we weren't to get the job done on Friday, it just leaves the door open a little bit for Derry and Sligo and Shells. Would certainly fancy themselves if we were to lose on Friday. So we just have to keep winning games, picking up points, and the more we do it, the closer it'll get. So let's hope we can win on Friday.
Yeah, we'll move on to a few questions here, Pete. There's a lot of statements, lots of many questions. Young Colly McConnell, was there a Torbjörn president at our first cup match? Bad omen, if not. No, Colly, there was no Torbjörn president this year around. The last Torbjörn was snapped in half in the South Stand in 2023. So what it's gotten us so far, it's a bit like Keith Long, it just couldn't get us over the line in the end. Paul Kuminski, the big dog, just says, oh yes. Keith Carew, squad depth is shallow, full strength side against Longford and the same versus Galway. Players needed rest. I assume that means players. Thing is, now we're just basically down to the last eight games, where it's week by week, bar maybe that Rovers rescheduled game in September. I think that sort of squad depth is probably more required, maybe through April through to July. I think we probably suffer the consequences of that throughout the season with Colin Whelan leading the line alone with no backup.
Yeah, I was only thinking this last night in terms of the squad. I mean, he mixed it up for the cup game a little bit, but even still, he went very, very strong, you know, against Longford. And I just think he's been under so much pressure. Every game has been so important to him. We're never, you know, a game away from a crisis, that he just hasn't had the luxury of a two or three game run where he can really change players, have a look at players. Because every, you know, there's so much at stake in every game. So you'd have to think he probably doesn't trust. I mean, would you trust Diallo on Friday? Would you trust Diallo in Inchicore? Probably not, even though he has shown glimpses of being a serious, serious footballer.
I don't know why
it'll probably be that tried and trusted.
I don't know why you didn't trust Diallo and McDonald down in Waterford. I thought that was the most bizarre team selection of the season, which says a lot for Rennie Bingo.
Yeah.
Playing Morahan and Flores after Flores doing a shift against Michelin several days beforehand, playing two strikers up top, no Devoy in the middle of the pitch, why not just fucking shut up, shut out, and get a point to get back down the road? Couldn't believe
4-4-2
we
would be
lost
hard to beat. Go down and get your point, and it would have been an absolutely fantastic result, you know. I couldn't believe it. I was watching that day. I mean, there's no point in going through that in any great detail, but that was an absolute horror show. But yeah, it's like he
that.
made changes in all the wrong areas and kind of gave up the game a little bit, you know. As you said, go down there, it'd be hard to beat. If you get a point, great, get back up the road and move on to the next one. But that was a horror show, and that's just a worry. We still have that in the locker, you know. And a couple of them, and you know, other teams will be breathing down our neck.
Young Ellis Stone, 2.0. No idea what he means, but Jack Houlihan, there is a God. Not sure if that's in relation to the podcast being back, balls getting through in Europe. But I'd question there if there is a God, but however, that's not for this podcast. Alan McKay, thoughts on Cup Jersey? We'll get on to that shortly. Nathan McLeod wants a European Tales. None that I can legally say on the podcast. And then we'll move on to the Twitter sphere, Pete, where there was also several podcast questions. Just a few here. With the last game, it's been Dundalk, Waterford, Shells and Pats. I think we need to pick up some points now. 10 points minimum in the next 5 games is needed to get toward IMO. I think we definitely need 4 from the next 2, Pete. I think we need to get at least a point against Derry and beat Sligo.
100%, 100%. Let's just do the opposite of what Bo's normally do and go and win the next two and really heap the pressure on the other teams then. Like if we beat Derry on Friday, they're fucked. They're gone. They're finished. Finito. And I'd love to stick it. I'd love to dance all over them on Friday night and really just end their season. Apparently they weren't great in the UCD Bowl. I don't know any certified paedophiles that watched the game against Derry, but reading a few of the reports and a few of the podcasts, apparently they weren't great. So they won't fancy it. Get at them early and as I said, finish their league season off on Friday night and put ourselves in pole position then.
Yeah, absolutely. Aidan, a few questions. When was the last time a Bowes manager had any credible options for a starting 11? Not a rhetorical question, I genuinely don't know. On the other hand, is there any solution to the void problem, meaning we cannot even get a draw when he's suspended? Yeah, I think our we've a massive, massive gaping hole in midfield without the void. There is no fix. We thought there might have been a fix. He was on loan at Sligo, and we don't think he's even getting too much of a game down there, young James McManus. That ankle break he had, just wouldn't say it was the end of him, but certainly hampered his career going forward. Look, we've the void anyway for another year, P, as far as we know. We all want this
Listen,
time
like
next
you
year.
take Devoy goes into any team and he comes out of it, you're going to see he's absolute quality. Like he's just, I suppose we've done it to death on this podcast saying how much we like him, and he's the one player on that team that you'd really love. I suppose Rossi as well, but just love watching him play. And we are just half the team without him. So I
Yeah,
see he picked up
absolutely.
another yellow over there. So
Doing a look,
just hope
get
he can
fit.
stay fit. Yeah,
That's
standard for
eleven.
Dawson, you know what I mean? But we'll
Oh.
need him an injury core. That's an absolute fact. So yeah, he's brilliant. Can't speak highly enough of him.
Yeah. And Stephen's asked, is that Waterford away the first half, the worst we have played this season? Can we survive going through another final against Pats? Yeah, we don't have to worry about the final part, but I think that Waterford away first half was probably as bad as it's gotten this season. Hopefully that's look, I think the results in Europe are good and the history will be kind to it. I don't think the performance is over those first 4 games or anything to shout about. We don't want we have to do get through. Obviously it's a bit worrying our 2 games in between the league, Galway and Waterford away, 2 teams down the bottom of the table. We amassed 1 point. I know Galway was good to play. The story of Bowes last season just didn't take the chances when it matters and got punished.
Yeah, I'd probably slightly have a different opinion than the majority. I thought the performances by and large were good in Europe. I thought, you know, the home games were difficult. We have to realize that's the team's first time in Europe as a unit. And as you said, I think Europe years will be kind to that European run. Could we have been better in some games at some stages? Definitely. But I think there was a lot of positives there. And I think we did when it mattered in the Balkany game. Home and away, we stepped up to the plate and we got the job done, which is the important thing. So I'd be slightly more, what, generous in my assessment of the performances in Europe than most seem to be.
Yeah, look, I think results is, when it comes to football, I don't really care about performances. It's all about getting through to the next round, whether that be Longford at home, Pats away, Balkany away. I think the main thing is you get through. I just hope this isn't a Reynolds cycle where, it feeds into bad five or six games, because we can't afford five or six bad games, regardless of how the last four or five might go. Now is where we need to have a good resilient run. But Pete, we'll move on to the next topic, the new kit signing.
We had to. There was a smattering of booze at half time in the Gibraltar game. Like that's where we were at. Like, you know what I mean? And they got the finger out. They turned it around, and we got the two goals we needed. So it's small margins as well. I sound like Stephen Bradley here now, but that could have been a disaster, you know. But they turned around, dug the win out, and I thought we played some nice stuff in the second half of both of the games in Daly Mount.
Yeah, and Pete, massive attack this week, not just from Bowers, but on the jersey.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Favorite time of the year. Just love reading the comments from the absolute nitwits online. There should be a Netflix documentary on some of the brain donors that just keep popping up on the Twitter feeds when Bowers leaves the jersey.
Each club
It's
has like a handful.
so good. It's just so good. And like, even if we didn't get a cent from those jerseys, I wish we just keep releasing them to piss the same people off, the same gum beans off time after time. It just warms the cockles. I think I'm going to use it as therapy on a Monday morning after a heavy Sunday. I'll just read through the comments and just get me going for the day, because it's just
He
it's
might get the
fantastic
laptop.
reading every time. Yeah, and listen, I include some Bulls fans in that as well, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's great. It's fantastic to read sometimes.
I would have preferred more complete Cuba styled jersey, blue and white stripes, and I don't know, the color doesn't, I know it looks better in person, looks better, it certainly looks better on a skinny athlete who's running out on the pitch, hoisted over our beer bellies, maybe not so much in a on our sun holidays, but should look
No, I
jerseys
won't be
as
dancing around Camden Street in one of them, put it that way.
most certainly not. Other liking some more, anyone that knows me knows my American roots, so it would have been nice to get something a bit more that sort of South American. So you never know. I was in Lambert's ear at 4 in the morning about Kearney about getting a bad bunny jersey, so hopefully he's made one or two phone calls across the continent, across the ocean, I should say. But Pete, we will move on now to some new signings happened. I know Kevin Hunter's back in town, a bit before my time. It's really good to see the great man back in Daly Mount.
Yeah, as I'm sure everyone knows how good Kevin was. Kevin Hunt was an absolutely fantastic player for Bowes. Just left everything on the pitch. He could tackle with his left foot, tackle with his right. But what a player! Yeah, magic player. And great to see him getting their picture taken, and you smiling for the camera. And yeah, just good wholesome content. Seeing him back in Daly Mount, you know.
Yeah, I think the
Yeah.
first person he bumped into was Richie Keeney. So we probably thought the Irish have picked up a different language since I left the country 10 years ago. Well, it was good to see him back in. But there was a question related regarding Paddy Madden. Someone reckons he's the new Moose. He look a bit unfit now, which might raise a couple of eyebrows.
I
But
thought
what?
he looked in great shape. Now granted, I wasn't at the game. I'm only looking at the pictures. But on the telly he looked a little bit top heavy. But if you see any of the pictures on Sportfile and so on, he looks absolutely in fantastic shape. But I don't think Paddy Madden is. I think one thing that's kept him going in the UK is that he's been a fantastic professional. And you know, in years gone by, you've always heard stories that he had one of the first to have a personal trainer and so on. So I don't think his fitness will be an issue. It's probably just as he got older, the shape of his body. I don't think he's carrying weight or anything like that or anything of the sort.
Yeah, he's also 26 years of age. He's not coming back at like 29, 30.
No, he's not a Connor Parsons, like, you know what I mean? So no, I definitely wouldn't worry about fitness, sharpness. Yeah, probably, because I suppose he would have finished up the end of May, so we're coming into the business end of it. If we can get him sharp in such a short space of time, I don't know. But yeah, good addition. What's the worst that can happen, you know?
Absolutely. Hopefully he gets a few goals. Could be pivotal in a bit of experience in games. Leading them out. He's captained a couple of times across the water too. Well, I'm happy enough with the signing. We needed a third option. Look, everyone knows he's probably not going to start every game. He'll probably tell us differently. He'll probably say he wants to be
Listen,
starting every game.
If you bring him on with 15 minutes to go on Inchicore, he's not going to be overawed by the occasion. He's not going to panic. He's not going to shit himself. Where some of the good young players we have, the Hugh Martins of this world, it might just be too much for them to get one chance. They mightn't take it. Whereas, you know, Paddy Madden, there's a good chance he will. So I suppose that's probably the angle. Can he change a game or can he make a difference in a game, you know, with 10, 15 minutes to go for chasing it? I certainly think he can. If he gets the ball, he'll score. So, yeah, good sign.
Yeah, and Pete, we will move ahead to this coming Friday. A couple of important games to jump. I think these next two are really, really pivotal. Derry at home and Sligo at home. We'll touch on Derry because we should have a podcast out next week, hopefully. Have a guest on. I've hit the bar with a couple of guests prior to the mid-season break, or prior to the European break, but we do have one or two in the pipeline. The next player or so, but Derry at home, Pete. You've touched on it there. It's a good chance to put the nail in the coffin of their league season. We'll certainly put our stamp on that third spot, that top three position due to Sherborne will be have a game in hand, albeit against Rovers. I think it'll be out on Tallaght
Two
too.
games in hand, I think. Two games in hand, yeah.
Two games in hand, but I think we're 10 points clear of them at the minute. Made that 13 games with, you know, essentially 10 or 11 games to go. That'd be a huge mountain to climb for Sherborne.
Yeah, I think Friday will give us a really good indication of where we are. Like, you know, sometimes Europe can paint a false picture, even for Shells. You've seen it with their performance against Pats, and then you've seen them against Ajax. You know, sometimes Europe is, you can raise your game and you can pull off these performances. But we need to make sure we're on it on Friday, you know, because our record against Derry is just not good. And it's a huge game. I'm sure they all realise how big it is. This can really catapult our season and really put us in the clear if we're to win on Friday. So I'm always anxious playing Derry. I never like playing them. Our record against them is so poor, but
it's abysmal.
I just
It is
it's
genuinely
abysmal.
Abysmal.
It's abysmal. But I
Would
think
Derry
we'll
away
win on
in the cup,
Friday.
Sharpie? Would Derry away in the cup in a horse rod and pats away, you'd argue so.
Yeah, just because of how bad we've been against Derry. You know, we had a great win up there and in 2018, a famous win. But just, I, as I said, I never fancy playing Derry. But yeah, let's get out there and let's do the business Friday. And as I said, if they can bounce into this, we've Sligo next Friday. Again, very winnable game. I think that's our favourite catchphrase on the podcast. Very winnable game. And then the big one then the following week. So don't know what team he's going to go with. Don't know what formation he's going to go with. Hopefully it's four at the back.
I think he's nearly aiming at a two up front at stages. I don't know. He obviously tried it in those two European games in the middle, and we done quite well against Galway, albeit no goals. He resorted back to one up top against Longford the weekend. But you just wonder, is he going to take that gamble with 10 games to go, maybe including the cup, 7, 8, 9 games to go? Can he take that gamble? Switching the formation to two up top, yes, obviously, if it works, but unfortunately, there's no time for pissing about here.
No, it's make or break now. I'm sure the European games have probably given them an indication of, you know, who can do it in the big games. And you'll have a plan ready to go, and we just have to hope it works. I'm sick and tired of trying to second guess who's going to start, who's not going to start. We know the 7 or 8 bodies that are going to start every game regardless. I think the big one is going to be who starts in goal. Is the Poland goal, or is he going to go back to the Anc? So that's probably the most contentious one out of the lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gave the American a second opportunity against Mitchelland when he had that howler on Sunday. That seems to always be the case with second choice keepers, just waiting for that really bad day to put back the force man in, but I don't know. I don't know if this is Casper back in. I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah, I thought Casper was fairly clinical in most things he'd done on Sunday. He was good from crosses. Anthony had to do, he done quite well. And we all know Casper's better with his feet, you know. So
he's also more agile. Paul Walters looks like he's, you know, someone's holding him back when he's getting down to the ball.
Yeah. Just the penalty decision. It was just like he was signing his own death warrant, really, with the penalty thing, wasn't he? Just
Couldn't
don't go,
believe
don't go, don't go, and then boom,
it.
he
But it's
goes.
just the madness of wrapping your two arms around the player
Yeah,
to try to catch a
yeah.
ball. It
And
was
even
just.
though there was minimal contact, you just don't do that. Like, just
You
the
can't just.
moment of.
Goalkeeper cannot put his two arms around. Like, even if he catches that ball, he probably gives it because he's gone through
Yeah.
him to get
You
it.
look like you and Bella Medina on the Wednesday night in that go-go bar, wrapping your arms around
Jesus,
everything that moves.
yeah. Don't get me wrong, P. I couldn't raise a smile after the. Well, I could raise a smile after the England game, but there was certainly nothing else getting risen after that time.
Yeah,
But yeah, P. I know the Premier League is also back this weekend, and Jordan Smith just asked me to give a shout out. He didn't make the cup game on Sunday. He was watching the Community Shield, so we said sitting down to the River Bar to watch Arsenal Coventry on Friday, with the Arsenal fans. So if anyone wants to head down, you think he's more or less after Arsenal won the league last year, and I think he's more or less happy to take a step back now and put balls in the back seat ahead of the season ahead, which probably can't blame Pete when it's going well. You have to take it over him.
Probably more chance for more silverware with Arsenal, but you won't have the same cracker going to watch Arsenal as you have a Bose. That's the easy answer for Jordan.
Yeah, so look, if you're looking for me and P, we'll be in Block A, 8 o'clock Friday. If you're looking for Jordan Smith and Arsenal, they'll be in the River Bar.
River Bar.
But Pete, we'll get you to put a prediction ahead of Friday's game
Yeah,
against Liverpool.
just to touch on that, like, and again, I suppose the last 6 weeks, and the team we have at the minute. Do I love them? No. Do I care for them too much? No, not really. I love Dawson. I love what he does. But what we do love about this place is the supporters and the club and Daly Mount Park. And that's better than winning any trophy, or better than watching any other football club. It's just been it just reminds you, the period within Europe of how special Daly Mount were for those two games, and again how special the supporters are. We probably get a lot of flack from outside, but honestly, both supporters, the efforts that were made to get to those games in Europe, the numbers we brought, and the crack that was had, no one like us. And I genuinely mean that. I think we're very lucky in the club we have to have such supporters, and it's not something I'll never take for granted.
I know. On Twitter, I such like to annoy people about, particularly Rovers, how they've died of debt with their home stand. But there's no other team on the island that would bring 800 plus to Gibraltar, a week later bring 200 plus to Kosovo, and a week later or 2 weeks later, whatever it is, bring 500 plus to Denmark. It's the best part of nearly what 1,500, 1,800 people to go to European games. Like, look at the Rovers crowd in Kosovo. I know they might say they've been spoiled to Europe and that was saving the money for. Look around, there is no guarantee of a next game in Europe. When you're
No.
in the Europa League playoffs, they brought 20 or 30 fans over to a couple of the games, brought a couple of hundred to Malta. Shells brought 500 to Ajax or 500. So to try to tell you it was 600, that's piss poor again. And Poles brought 1,000
Yeah,
easy to Ajax.
it's the easiest place in Europe to get to. Like, I suppose we're not in the business of it's great to have a bit of crack. The Rovers dynamic is slightly different because I suppose they do play an awful lot of European games, to be fair. I think they're probably now working off the basis where they all pick one European game and travel to it. But you take Rovers out of the equation, as I said, no one's going to bring those type of numbers. And just good people everywhere, and great laugh. Everyone looking to help each other out. Just people trying to get tickets for the game in Gibraltar. And just great supporters. So just that's marked and that's noted. I know we won't get credit from outside the club, but probably important that we give ourselves a pat on the back every now and then, and acknowledge the supporter base we have.
Yeah, absolutely, P. And look, we'll get off here now. People are probably sick of listening to us, sick of looking at me, maybe sick of looking at you. Definitely not sick of looking at the old dunk fella. But what's your prediction ahead of Friday? Give us a result.
I mean, like, we have to go and win on Friday. Let's just show that. Listen, we've arrived now. We're going to be in Europe the next couple of years. We're serious about going and winning the trophy, the FAI Cup, and let's put Derry to bed and shut them up for a few weeks anyway. That the mess that they are. So, yeah, 2-0 Bows, goal in each half, and yeah, let's enjoy the last few games of Daily Mount because
Yeah.
we're ticking them off the list. Like after the Sligo game, what are we down to? Three, is it?
I think we've got five left, Pete. If we win those five games, I couldn't give a bollocks about the away games we lose, but obviously bar the cup.
Yeah.
Give us five wins at home, and if you don't win any of the way, I don't care. Let's sign off in Daily Mount and stuff. Give us a fucking. We won four games at home this season. That's fucking pathetic given the year that's in it. I think we won a four or five max, I think. So
Yeah,
give
let's
us a
get back
fucking
on the
sign
horse.
off. The stadium deserves, the people deserve, and fucking the effort they've put in this year. Give users the fucking the opportunity to sign off Daily Mount the way he should be.
100%. 100%.
Right, as you do every week, Pete. I'm the fucking boss.
See you Friday, Jordan. Come on, the fucking balls.